Radio's Update with Lewis Foster.
Fastamai, good evening and welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday the 10th of June. Time for half an hour of the latest news from the Isle of Man. Coming up, the Home Affairs Minister responds to concerns over a controversial pre-TT safety video. Questions are asked about Manx Care's position on assisted dying. And plans for a new visitor and staff centre at the Laxey Wheel have been approved, despite a number of objections. All that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. Let us know your thoughts. Text 166 177, or you can email studio at manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fastamai, Siobhan.
Fastamai. The Home Affairs Minister has admitted the families of fatally injured racers weren't consulted before footage of their crashes were included in a social media video shared by police. Released as part of the Constabulary's annual road safety campaign ahead of this year's TT, concerns were raised when the video included footage from racing incidents which didn't happen on open roads. As the assisted dying bill awaits royal assent, Manx Care's medical director says doctors need to contribute to the conversation. Speaking on Man in Line today, Dr. Chris Stockport says there's lots of work to be done in terms of working through how the legislation should or shouldn't work. He says it's too early for Manx Care to form an official position on the legislation, though.
What we will do is work with the department and with all interested parties to establish how Manx Care plays its best role within this debate.
Manx National Heritage's proposal for a new visitor and staff centre for the Laxey Wheel have been approved by the planning committee. Despite a number of objections, including from Garth commissioners, the new facility will replace the hut which has been in place since the 1980s. Ramsay's Spa Shop has announced plans to introduce a new in-store Subway. The fast food chain is set to open a counter in the outlet on Parliament Square in the next couple of months. And in the last half an hour, the Mountain Road has reopened after being restored to two-way traffic post-TT. Further afield, Austrian authorities say a former pupil is behind the killings of 9 people in a school shooting in the city of Graz. The 21-year-old suspect's also dead after this morning's attack. Israel says it's outrageous the UK's announced sanctions on 2 of its ministers who are accused of inciting violence against Palestinians. And the UK's energy secretary says a £14.2 billion investment into a new nuclear plant in Suffolk is the right choice for energy security. There are your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Gromayed, thank you, Siobhan. So there you go. The Mountain Road has now reopened with two-way traffic reinstated after TT. The latest weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Now dry with sunshine this evening and clear skies overnight. Light westerly winds gradually backing southeast overnight and with minimum temperatures of around 9 or 10 degrees. Another dry day tomorrow with plenty of warm sunshine in light to moderate mainly southeast wind and a top temperature of, get this, 19 degrees tomorrow. Showers arriving early on Thursday morning could be heavy at times before tending to clear during the afternoon, with some bright or sunny spells developing to end the day. Fresh to strong southeast wind easing later, highest temperature on Thursday of 17 degrees. Sunset tonight is at 11 minutes before 10 and sunrise tomorrow morning at just shy of 4:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Yes, you are, and the time now is 5 past 5. The Home Affairs Minister has admitted the families of fatally injured racers weren't consulted before footage of their crashes were included in a social media video shared by police. It had been released as part of the Constabulary's annual road safety campaign ahead of the TT Festival. Concerns were raised, though, when the video included footage from racing incidents, which didn't happen on open roads. Jane Paul Wilson says a review of procedure is taking place.
I must first state my regret at the upset that was caused by the relevant section of the video in question. This was, of course, not the intention, but nevertheless, I recognise that individuals have been distressed as a result. As the Honourable Member will be aware, the Chief Constable is operationally independent. However, I am aware that the Constabulary have taken steps to address the identified issue, including making changes to the video. In accordance with the strategic objectives contained within the policing plan and the road safety strategy, the video intends to help to protect the public and our visitors from the devastating effects of road traffic collisions that can often be avoided. And reporting received this morning from the Constabulary is, I am pleased to say, that we have had a second year with no fatalities on open roads during the TT event period.
Sir Glover, supplementary.
Were permissions sought, though, from the families before? Because this video release was a big triggering event for these families and caused immense upset to have to relive those horrific days.
I emphasise my regret at that impact. As I understand it, the Constabulary believe that the footage used was already in the public domain, which is why no consultation took place before the publication of the material.
Take on board that, but can she give more details as to what review is taking place behind the scenes to make sure there's not a repeat of this? And would she agree that this was completely different from showing machines involved in incidents on the TT course? This is a whole new ghoulish level, rather than just depicting machinery.
Yes, I referred in my original answer to changes having been made, and my understanding is that they have introduced a new process and clearance system to ensure that a matter such as this is not repeated. I think the other thing that I would say is I'm aware that I think the Constabulary have spoken certainly to an individual family member, and I would say that if there is anybody else with any concerns that they may please raise those with the Constabulary.
That's Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson there speaking in the House of Keys, and comments there from Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK Tim Glover. The time now is 5:08. As the assisted dying bill awaits royal assent, Manx Care's medical director says doctors need to contribute to the conversation. In March, the Isle of Man became the first place in the British Isles to approve assisted dying legislation. And speaking on Man in Line today, Dr. Chris Stockport says there's a lot of work to be done in terms of working through how the legislation should or shouldn't work, calling on doctors to contribute.
Assisted dying is always going to be a contentious subject, and doctors, there are a range of views in terms of assisted dying, and you don't have to be a doctor for very long to have experienced some very difficult deaths and to understand why assisted dying might be important to some people. There's a lot of work to be done yet in terms of working through how assisted dying should or shouldn't work. And doctors are very keen to contribute to that debate. I don't know whether that proportion of doctors genuinely do wish to leave the island. What I do think as we move forward now is that doctors need to contribute to the conversation so that we can work out how we best move forwards with the legislation as has been passed.
Okay, does Manx Care have a position on assisted dying?
It's too early to form a position in terms of assisted dying. What we will do is work with the department and with all interested parties to establish how Manx Care plays its best role within this debate as we move forwards to a position of trying to, as an island, make sense of enacting the legislation.
That's Manx Cares Medical Director, Dr. Chris Stockport.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The time now, 10 past five. The interval between cervical screenings is being increased from 3 to 5 years on the Isle of Man. It's said to be because of advancements in technology, as Amy Griffiths reports.
Public Health says more effective testing methods have been used here since 2018, which means that the HPV virus, which causes 99.7% of cervical cancers, is now detected well before it gets a chance to develop. From the 1st of July, those aged between 24 and 49 who test negative at their next screening will be invited for another routine test after 5 years. The change is said to be safe and effective and is based on the latest clinical evidence. There'll be a number of information sessions next week. Two will be held in person at Kiel Darry in the Nobles Hospital site on Tuesday the 17th of June, while there'll also be an online event on Thursday the 19th. Director of Public Health, Dr. Matt Tyra, says those who don't have HPV have a very low risk of developing cervical cancer within 5 years, and that it takes around 10 to 15 years for cervical cancer to develop after an HPV infection. He says this means screenings don't need to be carried out as often, which will help to balance the benefits and harms of screening. Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association Executive Officer Sandy Denning says it's a logical step forward for women of the Isle of Man. Public Health says that while vaccination significantly reduces the risk of infection, it does not eliminate the need for regular screening.
Amy Griffiths there with that report. A new cyber threat update has flagged a surge in scams on the island, from deep fakes and dodgy emails to fake Facebook listings and impersonated businesses. The Cyber Security Centre says more than 700 suspicious emails were reported in just 2 months, and one scam saw an islander blackmailed after being conned in a romance fraud. There's also concern over AI deepfakes falsely featuring Manx politicians in crypto ads. Director Mike Haywood from the centre has been speaking to us about the risks and the advice for staying safe.
We are still concerned about the vulnerability of Manx residents to scams. It has unfortunately been higher in the past, so obviously it can be a factor of whether people are actually reporting everything that they receive. What I think it shows is that there's a consistent threat to be wary of.
And you've highlighted several impersonation cases, from fake websites mimicking law firms to scammers cloning pet sitting businesses. How serious is that trend, seeing as that a lot of people are on social media?
In the last sort of 12 months or so, the conversation around AI has really taken off. And we can see, obviously, a lot of positive uses of AI. Unfortunately, it falls to us to sort of highlight maybe some of the less attractive features of AI, and the ability to create convincing what are known as deep fakes, in other words, an impersonation of somebody relatively well known, and to make it appear that they're asking you to do something that they have no intention of doing, is something that we've seen as a growing trend. And we've seen it in the sense that a number of politicians and local well-known people on the island have been impersonated in this way. And obviously the election's a little way forward, but yes, when there are sort of relatively well-known personalities or political figures on the island, that is attractive to the scammers, and they will look to do that. And we would ask people to sort of exercise some discretion and caution. We would ask you to sort of look out for what you might consider to be suspicious signs, and then treat that particular video with some caution.
That's Mike Haywood, who's the director of the Cyber Security Centre.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
We'll take a look at the roads now, and of course we've had an update in the last half hour regarding the Mountain Road. It has now reopened, and of course two-way traffic has been reinstated. That's the important part. Two-way traffic has been reinstated following the TT period. If you're travelling on or off island tonight, no issues over at the airport as far as I can see. All flights in and out on time this evening. And on the sailings, the Mananan has arrived back into Douglas Bay sort of around half an hour ago, back from Liverpool. She'll be departing back to Merseyside later, leaving Douglas again at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, the Manxman is island-bound as we speak, having departed Heysham at 2:30. She's due to arrive back here in Douglas in around an hour's time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it's just gone 5:15. The Education Minister's been defending the decision to have one head teacher overseeing multiple schools on the island. By September, 8 heads will have responsibility for more than one primary school. Daphne Kane has been responding to questions about this in the House of Keys.
There are currently 7 head teachers that have responsibility for more than one primary school. I wouldn't say it's a priority, it's a movement. I think it's important to recognise the changing society in which we live and the changing role of a school within that society. In terms of September, the department is currently within a recruitment process for Scarlet Jubilee, and Victoria Road and Arbury will have a head teacher of more than one school from September 2025.
Super. Are federated schools the direction of travel for the island?
I'm not sure it's the direction of travel. When the role of head teacher is advertised, applicants are able to apply to be a head teacher of that individual school or to be a head of more than one school.
Ms. Farragher.
The Minister did say that this isn't the direction of travel for the department. So what's the reason? Well, firstly, that any head teachers have responsibility for more than one school, but that so many have responsibility for more than one school.
I can say it's not a cost-saving measure. The funding for the school remains within that school and is able then to support the release of staff or the employment of more staff required to make the provision for students, should there be a head of school, for instance, when they have a head teacher of more than one school. Schools are now considerably more complex organisations than they used to be, and this model follows learning from other jurisdictions to support the separation of strategic and operational leadership. And the model also provides opportunities for staff development, enhanced cross-school working, ultimately supporting provision for students. The role of head teacher of more than one school allows heads to strengthen collaboration and communication between schools and encourage opportunities for professional development of staff. When a headship of a school comes up, the best person for the job gets the job. And as I said, we see changing society, we see what's happening in other jurisdictions, and we take the learning from that, and we put the best person in the best role on the island to serve our island school community.
Education Minister Daphne Kane there. Manx National Heritage's proposal for a new visitor and staff centre for the Laxey Wheel has been approved by the Planning Committee. Despite a number of objections, including from Garth commissioners, the new facility will replace the hut, which has been in place since the 1980s. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more details.
The case officer for the application told the hearing that the proposal will provide a staff welfare area as well as visitor facilities. They also said a condition had been set to ensure it has a sedum roof, which means it will be covered in grass and flowers rather than a black roof. Manx National Heritage says the proposed facility will be larger than the current hut, but less intrusive. It will also be more wheelchair-friendly with level access, whilst also providing more space for visitor information. The hub will be clad in cedar panels to ensure it's ancillary to the main tourist attraction and a more prominent meeting place for groups. Steve Blackford, head of properties at Manx National Heritage, said in the hearing that the centre will have a low visual impact and will be built using the charity's reserves. Mr. Blackford added that this type of building is common at heritage sites in the UK, and the new structure will support the operations of the organisation more effectively. However, Clerk at Garth Commissioners Martin Royal told the hearing that the local authority had decided to object to the plans because they wanted something different. Manx National Heritage's building is also the subject of a Timwald motion, which will be discussed next week. John Wannenberg is asking the organisation to withdraw its application for the visitor centre and replace it with a sympathetic design which is appropriate for the largest working water wheel in the world. Member of the planning committee, Adele Bettridge, said it's not in keeping with the heritage area and it doesn't have toilets for staff, who would have to use facilities elsewhere. Meanwhile, member Helen Hughes asked Mr. Blackford how long he expected the building to last. The response was 15 to 20 years. Sam Skelton, another member, said the design was like a summer house or shed and felt it wasn't providing enough for staff. However, the committee voted 6 in favour and 1 against for the design, and all were unanimously in favour of demolishing the existing hut.
Emma Draper, local democracy reporter, Gura Mayed, will keep an eye on that motion in Timor later this month. 19 minutes past five now, the Legislative Council sat today for its penultimate sitting before the summer recess. Local government was the topic for debate, as Phil Gorn reports.
At this week's sitting of the Legislative Council, members considered the Local Government Amendment Bill 2023. This is DOI member Dawn Kinnish's first bill, so what's it all about?
It came from a Timor Select Committee on local authorities and members' interests, so that's what's driven a lot of the change forward. And, you know, I think it's timely that we do revisit conflicts of interests and registrable interests. So, you know, much of what is in the bill is around that, and that's where it originated from. A register of interests needs to be kept by the local authority, but the intention is that that is for public access, so that allows much more openness and transparency with the bill. But there's other areas as well, you know, access to documents within the meetings held by local authorities. So, you know, it just gives that further level of transparency and openness, which, you know, is very much what people, the public, demand these days.
An amendment was moved by recently elected MLC Kirsty Morfitt, which will see the bill move next to an evidence phase, primarily as a result of lobbying from local authorities related to a new clause introduced in the Keys. Dawn Kinnish explains.
This is part of the parliamentary process. Legislative Council had it in their gift to call for an evidence stage. You know, members have been lobbied hard, and therefore the opportunity will arise now for local authorities to come and give that evidence in order for members to consider that in the passage of this bill. Members have been lobbied around a specific part, Clause 5 of the bill. But we can take evidence now on any aspect of the bill. You know, my colleague Mr. Mercer raised issues around conflict of interest, so, you know, we could take evidence in relation to that. So it doesn't have to be narrow focused, it can be on any element of the bill.
The Legislative Council meets again on the 24th of June for its final sitting before the summer recess.
Phil Gorn, Gura Mayed. 21 minutes past five now. Underage drinking was one of the main issues noticed by those running the Streetwise initiative at this year's TT. The annual scheme has been helping keep young people safe during the temptations of the festival for the past 15 years. Trained staff are available to help signpost children to support or give them immediate assistance if needed. Stephen Taylor is from St Christopher's, which runs the scheme, and has been telling Amy Griffiths more.
It was extremely successful. We had contact with easily over 100 young people, had contact with vast amounts of adults who were just coming, asking what we're doing, looking for advice and support. So it was extremely beneficial for the community this year.
Of those 100 people, what were some of the things that were coming up? What were some of the themes that you were talking to them about?
Mainly about what we were there for. We were there to support people if they had any issues. We supported a few young people who were at minor risk in and around the fair area. People who'd lost money, people who'd lost bus fare, people who struggled getting home, that type of stuff. There was a massive difference with support from the fair people. That was a bonus. They were inquisitive about what we were doing and what they could help us with and how we could work together. And that worked this year with them coming and asking us to help us when they had issues with young people. We helped them with a couple of situations they had with young people fighting in the fair, rather than letting their security deal with it, who deal with things in a totally different way than our staff would do.
Because is it something that you've seen a difference in from previous years in terms of the behaviour of children around at TT?
Yeah, well, I think the big worry is the level of alcoholism. Lots of young people talk to us about vast amounts of beer being left on pub tables outside around Bush's area. That's a worry. And a lot of young people were under the influence of alcohol. We are actually having to buy it because it's so easily available during TT week. You know, a lot of the kids were telling us it's dead easy to get alcohol. You just go pinch it from outside one of the pubs or from inside bushes.
Stephen Taylor there from St Christopher's speaking to Amy Griffiths. Now, a man who set fire to a mansion house, sexually assaulted a child and stole underwear from homes has been jailed. 19-year-old Peter Courtine deliberately set fire to Africa House in Douglas, causing £1.4 million of damage to the vacant property in August 2023. Sean Cowper has the details.
Douglas Courthouse heard he'd sent a video message of himself at the site to a friend shortly before the blaze was reported by a passerby. BBC Isle of Man reports Courteen was jailed for 3 years and 2 months and given a 2-year extended licence period. The court heard the 19-year-old had deliberately set fire to the property on Woodburn Road with a cigarette on the 11th of August 2023. The blaze was reported to the emergency services at about 6 p.m. by a passerby who saw smoke coming from the vacant home. Prosecutors said the site had become a hotspot for antisocial behaviour, and it was originally feared Courteen could still be inside when firefighters arrived at the scene. But police found out he was by that time travelling on a bus back to Ramsey. Although he initially denied involvement, he later accepted that he had started the fire deliberately with a cigarette. The court heard that in April the following year, he stole various items of women's and children's underwear from washing lines and outhouses. He later admitted 2 charges of theft and 4 of burglary. The court heard he'd also pleaded guilty to indecent assaults and having sexual intercourse with a person under the age of 16 in 2023. Jailing him, Deemster Graham Cook said if he had been older, he would have been handed a longer sentence. However, the Deemster said he was satisfied, "You remain a danger to the public." The 19-year-old was also placed on the sex offenders register indefinitely and handed a sexual harm prevention order banning him from having contact with children and restricting his access to devices that can connect to the internet.
Sean Calber with that report. The time now coming up to 26 minutes past five. Let's catch up with the latest news from the world of sport with Rob Pritchard. Fast am I, Rob?
Fast am I, Lewis. Well, starting with football, the Isle of Man women's national football team will welcome UK opposition to the Ireland this weekend. Well, the Isle of Man Football Association has confirmed the Manx side will host Kendall Town Ladies in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas on Saturday, the 14th of June. Kickoff is scheduled for 3 p.m. and entry for spectators will be free. Well, for the Manx squad, this tie comes just over a month after they were last in action in a 1-0 friendly defeat to Accrington Stanley Women at the Wham Stadium on the 10th of May. And looking ahead, the Isle of Man women's and men's teams are preparing to take part in the 2025 Ireland Games in Orkney, which are being held from the 12th to the 18th of July. Looking again then to some of the Isle of Man sporting news which has been taking place outside of TT 2025. First off, Manx pro cyclist Matthew Bostock has won the Clarendon Cup at the 2025 Armed Forces Cycling Classic in the USA. The Ireland rider claimed top spot in the 100km event in Arlington, Virginia on Sunday the 1st of June, completing the course in 2 hours, 10 minutes and 7 seconds. In a close-fought sprint to the finish, he managed to fend off DCC competitor Dario Raps, who came home second, and Golden State Blazers rider Jim Brown in third. Separately, the day before, Bostock had finished 28th in the 90-minute Capital Cup in Washington, D.C. race, which is part of the same meeting. Following his success, Bostock took to social media to say he was buzzing to get his first victory with new team, Tekkers CC, with the result after he, in his own words, came close to calling it a day at the end of the last campaign. And in athletics, Ireland athlete Krista Kane has impressed again in competition, this time by winning the 2025 Green Park Reading 10K. Competing for the best athletics club, Kane stormed to victory in the women's race on Sunday the 1st of June in a time of 34 minutes and 53 seconds. Well, furthermore, Kane's pace meant she finished 17th overall on top of the F35 category. And her time was also 1 minute and 22 seconds quicker than her previous personal best for the F35 class, which had been set back in February this year.
Gurumayed, Rob Pritchard, thank you. That's it for update tonight. A reminder, if you're just tuning in, the Mountain Road has now reopened with two-way traffic reinstated. Christian Jones presents Island Life next, and Chris Kinley is back at 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. You can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast, available shortly over at manxradio.com. Hope you have a great evening. I'll be back with updates at the same time tomorrow.